Today on Real Radio.
If you look at the Old Testament giants of the faith, in light of New Testament theology, you will recognize that Abraham had a walk that is very much, if not exactly, like the walk you enjoy today.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. In fact, we're in a mini-series called Worship at War. It's a look at parts of chapters 1 and 2 where we learn of how these two W's, worship and war, happen at the same time. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called Worship at War.
A lot of people talk about the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New as though there's someone different, and they're not different. It's the same Lord. Well, you know, where does this thinking come from? Because so many people see that God dealt with mankind in the Old Testament differently than he did in the New. And that's not exactly true. If you look, and I want you to remember this from this moment on, if you look at the Old Testament giants of the faith, in light of New Testament theology, you will recognize that Abraham had a walk that is very much, if not exactly, like the walk you enjoy today. A walk of faith. Was Abraham perfect? No, but did he believe the Lord to justify him and make him righteous? Yes. David, perfect example. David was a sinner. I mean, my goodness, he was an adulterer. He murdered a man. And yet you see David, a true worshiper of God and a man whose heart was so hot after God that he too was justified by faith in God. Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, on and on you go. These men of God and the women of God, Rahab, Esther, Ruth. We could go on all night with the great women of God, justified by faith. What is the supreme attribute that both the Old Testament and New Testament worshipers of God had in common? Is that they loved to enter into the presence of the Lord, i.e., or example, we call it worship. And as we look to our study tonight in chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, we'll go somewhere maybe in the middle part of chapter 2 tonight by God's grace. We'll recap some and then dive into where we left off. The thing that I want to draw to your attention tonight is what we started last time together, and that is this thing about worship at war or worship at warfare. And you might say, what in the world are you talking about? I can understand that worship is what we just did a moment ago with singing from our hearts and standing and lifting our hands unto God and dedicating ourselves to Him. I can understand that as worship. And by the way, we all worship. Every one of us worship in here. You can be an absolute Darwinian tonight in this place, and in fact, if you are an evolutionist tonight, I have to tip my hat to you and say that you have great faith. I wish I had the amount of faith that you have, but you worship. And you say, well, how so? I don't believe in a God. But you worship. It's in your heart to worship. You might go out, in fact, you and I might go out together and stand on the sands of the beach and watch the sun just go into the Pacific and see a great sunset as the dolphin are jumping in the waves. And I might stand there and say, God, you're awesome. And you might stand there and say, isn't all this a wonderful accident? You know, the very creation itself causes you to respond in some way, shape, or form. It's who you're attributing your worship to that validates if it's true worship. See, the Christian directs their worship to God, the Creator. And thus the worship is true. We're not arrogant about it. We just know Him in whom we've believed. It's not an accident that we believe in a divine engineer, a Creator. The evidence is overwhelming. God's hand. But this thing about warfare, very quickly, in the Bible, And it's such an honest book, of course. It records much warfare. But what is interesting is that as it was with Israel of old, so with the believer today, worship and warfare, you cannot separate the two of them. There is no doubt about it. And I don't know if there's any new believers in here tonight, but you might get all goofy about this next thing and get, you know, you might start whistling in the dark and holding your friend's hand or something. But listen, there are spiritual entities at play and at power that you and I don't see. And one of the greatest ways to combat spiritual or demonic warfare is to worship God. I mean, you read the Bible. Satan hates it. The Bible says, out of the mouths of babes, that's not good-looking girls and guys. Out of the mouths of babes, God has perfected praise. That is a heart that is sincere toward God, a child's heart. Isn't it good? Calvary Chapel is a fun place to be, especially on a Sunday morning, because people come in with three-piece suits and bathing suits. People come in with wingtips and with sandals on, with ties and tie-dyes. It's Calvary Chapel. It's Baptists and Catholics and Methodists and Lutherans and, I mean, you name it. Today, a woman's sitting next to me. Thank God she was a little tiny thing. I don't like sitting next to people in an airplane that are big. I don't like it. And she's a little tiny thing. She had to weigh like 90 pounds. And it was amazing. She had her Seventh-day Adventist book open. And she, first of all, had the Reader's Digest open. And then I got up and pulled my Bible out and I was preparing for tonight. So then she felt a little emboldened. And she said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Well, it's the Bible." She goes, "Oh, great." So she gets her little Seventh-day Adventist book out. And so she's reading it. And then I noticed the guy on the window, which he had my seat. I don't know how he got my seat. I was supposed to have that seat, but he took it from me. That was my seat. But as I looked over at him with disgust and shame and conviction, he pulls out his little daily bread. And it was great. He's reading. And it just kind of blew my mind how one thing led to another, which led to the other. And God's witness, God's presence in the heart of people. And one of the greatest things that a believer can do is worship God. Why? Because first of all, it affects us privately. Do you have a private worship time with God? If you don't, start it tonight. Your life will change radically. But as you do that, if you know the Lord, you will begin to experience also a desire to worship him more and more. And friends, listen, before we get into this, this thing about worship at war or worship at warfare, it's no big deal. Just begin to practice the presence of God. Begin to set your life up in ways that you include God in what you do. This afternoon, leaving Dallas, I was with Dr. John Wolverid these last few days. Great blessing. The plane was covered in ice, and they had to de-ice it, and it was terrible. We sat for 3 hours as they were trying to get ice off these planes. And just when they got the ice off the plane, the pilot opened his window, which was amazing to me. He opened his window and the guy started shooting the de-icing stuff again, shot right into the cockpit and shorted out the airplane. Had to go back, get on another airplane, but it was the airplane that had these two people on it. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I know you're the Lord. I know you're in control, but why do we have to get on another plane? Well, you know what? I could have just stopped and been spiritual about it and say, praise the Lord. God's in control. Hannah was that kind of a believer. God's in control. She was longing and waiting and praying to God to have a baby. She was a worshiper of the Lord, dedicated to the Lord, but had not received the blessing of the Lord. And listen, troops, that is something. We can worship and praise the Lord, and so often we are such stinkers in our hearts that we are worshiping, and we're much like children at this time of the year. Hi, Daddy. And we so often come to God, hi, Lord. And it's like, I'm going to do something today for you, God, you know. And the Lord knows all this. He sees right through it all. And what he wants us to be like is a worshiper, just a worshiper. And I think that's the key to when Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must become like little children. Have you noticed little kids ooh and awe about everything? They're just gawking at the world. They're following butterflies. They're chasing, you know, birds. They're kids. Everything is exciting and wonderful. And I find that true in my private relationship with God. I God never ceases to amaze me and blow my mind. And so as we look to the scripture, keep this in mind. Worship and warfare go hand to hand together in our lives as Christians. When we worship God, we're blessing his name, but praise the Lord, we're doing serious damage to the enemy. And I love it. And so as Hannah, in recapping, Hannah gets her request from the Lord. He opens up her womb. That's what the scripture says. Opens up her womb. That means he had control of it. He opens it up. And Elkanah, her husband, it says, in the process of time, she became pregnant. I think that's kind of cute. I wonder what that means exactly. Did they practice a lot before they had little Sammy? I think so. In the due process of time, she became pregnant. And it says there in the scripture that God opened the womb. Why? She's praying and seeking the Lord. Why? God's got a plan. Eli, he's got two sons that are absolute reprobates, and yet they're called priests. They're priests of the Lord, sons of the priest, Eli. Yet Hannah is praying, God, bless me with a son. In fact, she says, Lord, bless me with a son, and if you do, I'll give him back to you. Worship, my friend, it's worship. I'll give him back to you. While all the while, Eli, the priest of Israel, he's there, he's doing his thing, but he never passed on the mantle, so to speak, to his own kids. And we'll talk about that tonight. We saw last time together God's way of waging war, and we saw it in three areas. Number one, it's not up to human logic. This story doesn't make any sense unless you put God right in the middle of it. Who cares about Hannah? She's a nobody, but she's a somebody because God's got a plan for her life. And isn't it amazing to realize that this precious Jewish girl, her life would be recorded in the Bible? God's way of waging war doesn't meet our standards of human logic. Remember that. Why should you worship when your world seems to be falling apart? Well, consider the world. The world shoots up when their world falls apart. The world does drugs. The world runs to a six-pack. The world intoxicates itself. What does the believer do? It seems illogical, but the believer, as it was in the days of old, we go before the Lord and put our worship out in front and circle, so to speak, the problem seven times and shout and praise unto the Lord, Joshua, and the children of Israel, and the walls come down. That's illogical. It doesn't make sense. God doesn't always make sense. That's what keeps us on our toes. God's way, we saw also, of waging war is that it's not up to human debate.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Worship at War. It's a look at parts of chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel. In fact, it's a series within a series because this portion of Scripture reveals so much about these two W's, worship at war. We'll continue with this verse-by-verse study on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And of course, today being Friday means that we bring you another Ask Pastor Jack segment. Ask Pastor Jack's a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question, if you'd like, to AskPastorJack at RealRadioActive.org. That's AskPastorJack at RealRadioActive.org. Now, sometimes we get Pastor Jack into the studio here, but he also gives his answers from the pulpit, just like we're doing today. And by the way, Pastor Jack, of course, isn't always able to answer every single one of our Ask Pastor Jack questions, but he does try to get to as many as possible. Now, last week's Ask Pastor Jack was on the topic of suicide, and here's one on the same subject, but involving a loved one. Dear Pastor Jack, my friend wants to commit suicide, and I have no clue what to say to him. I think a lot of us have serious issues with which we're to come to terms in our own hearts and what we're going through. What does God have to say about this? Does he speak to us in his word? And is there hope in this?
Wow. On Sunday, in one of the messages, because they're all a little bit different, you know. On Sunday past, I had said this in one of the messages that for many people, we don't see God until we come to the end of ourselves. Because we're too much in the way. And the upside to a very depressed situation is that when we come to the end where we don't know when the next penny is going to come or the next full breath of air is going to fill our lungs because we can't breathe deep anymore or we can't have one more sane relationship, everything seems to be broken in life. And you just come to that point where your jaw is tense, you're grinding your teeth, your temples are about to explode, and your body is just reeked with stress. And the thought enters your mind, I'm just going to end it all. Stop right there, my friend. Stop right there and think this through. Regarding the situations of your life now that's brought you to this point. You're not the innocent one in the party also. There's things that we've all done wrong. You're not guilt-free. Not all of your decisions have been right. You've been brought to a place where now you hate life. Fact is, you hate your life. In fact, if you could do it different or have a chance to do it different, or if a life raft would descend from a cloud and give you the chance to get out of it without death, you'd take it. When we lose sight of God, then we end our lives. Suicide is the result of no hope. That's why somebody can commit suicide. They can battle cancer for 30 years, but the moment they lose hope, they die within seconds. Did you know that? If you lose hope, you will walk out onto the freeway, you'll go onto the Metrolink, you'll put a gun to your temple. When you lose hope, you end it. To lose hope is to lose the presence of God. My argument to you is this right now. God gave you life. Yes, it's true. Maybe we, maybe a group, maybe it's just ourselves. We've ruined it. We've crashed it. If you can hear me right now, and if you're drawing breath, man, I think of the thousands of people. You know, we have 40,000 people here on a Wednesday night through the web. Can you imagine the other end of this camera? That there are people, they just said, I'm going to end it. I've lost everything, I'm going to end it. Listen, first of all, I want to encourage you in a backhanded way. You don't have the authority to end it. Who do you think you are? God gave you life. You came into this world, and it may have been a horrible ride, I understand that. But the reason why it's been a horrible ride is because people around you and or you yourself didn't do it God's way. And God is saying to you right now, I want you to do it my way. Put down the gun or get off the bridge or take the pills away and give God the chance. You've given everything or everyone else a chance, but you did not give God a chance. You might say, well, I went to church once. Don't do that. Call, cry to him. call out to him. What we do at this church is not a business. It's not a show. Quite frankly, none of us need this job. I mean that. We don't do this because somebody told us to go to school and do this. I can't speak for any other church, but I can speak for this church. We don't need this for our income. We don't need this for our stroke or ego. Why we do this is because God is real. Amen. And if he were not real, I would be the first to quit today. I could have an easier life. I could get more vacation time and be paid a whole lot better. I want you to think about that. He's real. And because he's real, there's hope for you. Jesus Christ came from heaven. I wouldn't have left heaven for nothing. But that's because I'm a human. He came from heaven and was rejected before he was ever born. The pregnancy of his mother, which didn't we read again today? In our daily Bible reading? Amazing, isn't it? Mocked, ridiculed, all this stuff. Born into this world, and before he could even nurse, he had to flee with his parents for his life. Never accepted. He was never welcomed. 33 1/4 years, lived his life in constant rejection. Stayed at it, stayed with it, to submit to the will of the Father to save us. I would have never done such a thing. Let humanity go straight to hell. They're not worth it. But I'm not God. Aren't you glad? He came because the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, if you would believe on him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. Every sin, any sin could be forgiven. So, do I hope and pray? Let me rephrase that. It's worthless, impossible to pray about it now. It doesn't apply. Would it have been great if Whitney Houston would have said, Jesus, I'm so messed up, I'm so scared, I'm so derailed. I'm just going to take a couple sleeping pills and lay down for a little bit, and I'll talk to you in the morning. And she died? That would be great. I hope that happened. I can't pray about that anymore because that's done. Look, you're not Whitney Houston. And you're not on the other end of eternity. My goodness, you guys. Did you know that even tonight, Osama bin Laden, Adolf Hitler, you want to know something? Do you know that their theology tonight is better than yours and mine? They know who Jesus is now. They know what the Bible says now, and they missed it. They know that there's a heaven, and they're not there. Please, call out to Jesus Christ. Give your heart to him. And my God is the God who rescues people at the 11th hour. He is awesome to save you.
Amen, for sure. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack Hibbs answering a question on how to handle a situation concerning a friend who's contemplating taking their own life. Now, of course, you got to admit, Pastor Jack addresses a big range of questions and issues here on our Ask Pastor Jack segment. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You may hear the answer from the pulpit. You may hear him when we get him into the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.